Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight for a chill show. There's not much happening in the news, but we can have a show about the basic news that are happening. Firestarter says, anyone think Jimmy Fallon and Elon Musk look alike? Yeah, to a certain extent. Not totally, but to a certain extent, I would agree. Dino Legovic says that he is working in the garden. He's in the morning in Australia right now. Well, I have finalized my automated watering system for the raised bed, and this is one of the things I'm most proud of in my entire life. Look at this. Controlled by the cell phone, I can turn on this tap by just clicking something on my cell phone on the Wi-Fi network. Well, we weren't seeing the tap in the camera, but you get the idea. I just tap on this smart plug. Turns on. And it can turn off within 5 seconds. So this I've been working for many days. That's all of the plumbing I was doing. It was ultimately to obtain this effect. This will ease the scheduling of watering, because one of the things I note about plants is that they need constant watering. It's better to be watering drop by drop, but all day, and just a 10 minutes here, 10 minutes here, just to keep the soil constantly humid but never flowing. Because if you have flowing water through your soil, the water is taking the nutrients with it. So it's taking the nutrients, it's leaving, and then you have nothing left for the plants. So the ideal watering schedule is one where you would water every 10 minutes, but just a couple of drops, and you would keep the soil just at a level of humidity that you like, but never to the point where there's too much water, which is impossible to do when you water manually. You cannot go back every 10 minutes and do it, but with a schedule system, it will be perfect, and it will be perfect for herbs and lettuce. It will be a little darker than the greenhouse, because I noticed that the lettuce were not doing good in the greenhouse. Their problem is they have a programming that when they get too much sun and too much heat, they go into a tree-like structure and they just shoot for flowers. I wanted a spot that had a little less light throughout the day, a little less heat, and this will be perfect. And it will be automated watering, so for lettuce it's also good, because the lettuce, they are easy to dry out. Their leaves are not super protected against heat, and they will dry out very easily. Spud Ruckus says, they will spy on you through your faucets now, JF. Oh yeah, the business of smart items, I've never talked about it, but I've discovered this progressively during the last few years. It's amazing how they always connect to the central server. Why do I need this? I want a local device that will respond to my local network. Why do I have to log in a central server? And yes, you're right, there's something about privacy here to be thought about. I think it's a big problem, but I like the smart plugs. I will keep using them, but I don't see why they are built that way. I mean, I see why, and it sucks, but they shouldn't be built that way. We have plenty of material in a computer that is designed local. There's no reason to design a smart plug to be non-local. Although there's an interest, which is I can control this while I'm not home. So I could turn on the watering if I'm away, and I could do it through the internet. So that is an advantage. Grapes Coda says, my potatoes are in containers, so the nutrients are mostly contained. Very good, very good. Pete Davison's tattoo of Kim Kardashian's children divides the internet. No, that is way too much. This guy is the adoptive father. Not even the adoptive father. He's just the boyfriend of Kim Kardashian. And the children are the children of Kanye West. This guy has made a tattoo on his neck that appears to indicate the initials of the names of Kim Kardashian's four children, just as a boyfriend, North, Saint, Chicago, and Psalm. This is creepy. This goes beyond the creepy line. Have some respect, even if you have an important role in their lives, even if you love them and you like them and you want to take care of them as good as you can. Okay, that's already problematic, but okay, do it. But do it in private. Like, don't make symbols of these children belonging to you. Because when you enter the domain of tattoo, you enter the domain of symbols and you're telling other people something. You're telling Kanye something with these tattoos, and you're telling him, I will be a better father than you because I have the tattoos. I care more about them. It's absolute modern cuckery. I'm totally against it. He should laser them out. Panicked CNN guest wonders how we're going to control the channels of communications in this country. Of course, that would be a discussion to have on CNN. Let's see what they have to
You
say.
know, I think there's a bigger problem that when we focus on the personalities of people like Elon Musk and people say, oh, I think Elon's thinking this or that. There's a bigger problem here about how we are going to control the channels of communication in this country.
We're not. This country has already decided it would not control the channels of communication. There are some amount of control on broadcast waves, and really the government was able to put its dirty hands in this domain simply because there are limited wave spaces, and you have to say, all right, you are the radio station that gets this frequency, you get this frequency. But given that this problem does not exist on the internet, therefore we can return to a true First Amendment interpretation, and there is no such thing as how we're going to control the channel of communication in this country. Precisely, the decision of Elon Musk is that no one will be able to because they'll be bought out.
In 1927, we had the Radio Act. 1934, the Communications Act. Congress stepped in. We made rules. FCC wasn't great, but it's still regulating the broadcasting.
Yes, and the broadcast industry is now dead, and it was not even justified. Those were unconstitutional organizations. They've run for many decades because basically the corporate world controlling the airwaves had an interest in being legislated. But the reality is the First Amendment goes much further. The First Amendment would make it so that the government shouldn't be able to say to a radio station, you cannot use dirty words in your broadcast. Yet I know that's what they do, but they shouldn't be able to do this. But with the internet, it's over now. Even if they were to try to control it, there would be ways to build independent infrastructure. Grapes Coda says, the rest of my plants aren't growing though. So yes, I need to water less, I suppose. I take JF's intermittent watering advice. Yes, and the best kind of watering, by the way, is drop by drop. It's so much more powerful. You install your drop by drop system. You can buy this in hardware stores. They have these long hoses that will just give a couple of drops. Maybe one drop every 2 seconds, three seconds. And you just let it go for an hour. It's so much more profound than because when you water manually, you give a shock to the plant first. It lasts less. It will last less time, so it will be shorter in terms of the amount of time the plant is exposed to fresh water. Eventually, the top will dry while the bottom is still humid. With the drop by drop, you have a continuous and slow effect that really brings what the plant needs, which is not water that much. It's really a humid soil. That's what it needs. That's perfect for this kind of circumstance.
Industry, you can't use vulgar language, you can't do all these things with speech.
Well, now we can. And the only reason we can't is that YouTube somehow decided to impose its own rule to knock itself down and knock its own creators down. But we will have solutions emerging like Odyssey and like Twitter's Elon Musk's Twitter.
We gave over our what amounts to our airwaves or our internet waves to Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk. And we are in so much trouble.
Yeah, well, it's not our airwaves. That's the point. That's the great advance of the internet. We didn't give our airwaves to Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk. They just exist. The channels of communication exist between the citizens of America. It's unstoppable. The internet has been designed in a way that it's harder to do what you want to do, and you probably won't be able to do it.
Because those guys believe in making money. We've already seen that with the 2016
election. I love when the leftists bring this against the big tech moguls that, oh, they like to make money. They make money out of hate speech. It's really not what they're doing. The thing is, they are losing money, in fact, opening these trust and safety committees and these branches of their organizations. Really, they could not have those because they're protected by Section 230. So they don't have to. If they opt for being protected by Section 230, they have the protection. So the reality is they're spending money on a wasteful campaign against themselves. That's the current state of big tech. And this guy wants them to spend more.
Election in Zuckerberg, when he was taking rubles for ads from Russia and say, oh, I think it's crazy to think they had any influence on this election. Mm. Musk is the same.
Zuckerberg was taking rubles.
Musk doesn't want it. You know, he's upset with the SEC, tried to, how dare they question him? You know what I'm saying? This is dangerous. We can't think anymore in this country. We don't have people. No, I'm serious. We don't have people in Congress who can make regulations that can make it work. I think we can look to the Western countries in Europe for how they are trying to limit it. But
Western countries in their, well, yeah, seat is seething, as Nicholas Petrus says. The problem with Western Europe is that they can impede on speech because they don't have the First Amendment. There will never be successful legislation around the internet, so let it go freely. In the US, it's impossible because of the First Amendment. That's it. So these people can keep seething. It won't fix itself, and it's not because of a lack of talent in politicians or they are unable to think. It's because the structure of the American censorship is purely private because of the First Amendment. Elon Musk has given some thoughts on what he was thinking for Twitter through different threads and replies, which starts giving us a cue on what it will look like, Elon Musk's Twitter. He answered to a thread, all's well, that's Orwell. Musk tosses tactical nukes at Ministry of Truth and Trust Fund Journal. So there was initially a tweet about the new Minister of Truth is such a nice, neutral, unbiased person. So he's talking about the lady that sings, you know, I've shown her in previous shows. And his answer to this is, all well, that's Orwell. A little play of word, I guess, a play of sounds and words. But basically, he's saying the Ministry of Truth is not into this, and Twitter will go its own way. Meanwhile, he also replied, this was in relation to a thread by Glenn Greenwald, who says, rich white woman, Molly Young Fast, who won the birth lottery by being born to rich, famous white parents who raised her in Manhattan, sent her to private schools, and thus herself bought an Upper East Side co-op for $5 million in 2007 at the age of 29, rants about rich white men. It's always those people who rant against rich white men. It's rich white women, basically. And Elon Musk was laughing his ass off Oh, Mr. Krabs. So the people who are talking about privilege are often basically feeling guilty. I've never heard someone who truly had to work his way through the social ladder a little bit like I did. Although I've been lucky in life, I've certainly not have inheritance and that kind of stuff. I've been lucky in terms of having good parents, and that's it. People like me, or people even lower than me, people who don't have the luck that I have, they don't complain about privilege. They work their way up the more they can, and they feel lucky that they have anything. So all of this stemmed from this initial thread. Someone was saying, I don't like the Twitter is amplifying the gendered barb that Elon Musk appropriated from anti-racist because a United States senator suggested he might pay more taxes and his feelings were hurt. It shouldn't be news, media shouldn't cover it, and platforms shouldn't amplify it. This was all initially from many months ago, when Elon Musk called Elizabeth Warren Senator Karen after she tweeted that the rigged tax code should be changed so the person of the year will actually pay taxes, referring to the Tesla CEO. Okay, but we can't change the tax code if someone is rich just in principle and on paper. Elon Musk is rich on paper, but he didn't sell his stock, so he didn't have running money in his bank account, and therefore, what do you want to do on the tax code? The only change you could do is start taxing property rather than income, which is a radical change that would have severe negative consequences. Grapes Coda says, that is one of the worst run-on sentences I've ever seen. Is this woman a journalist? I don't know which woman you're talking, because there were two. There's the Ministry of Truth woman, and there's Molly Youngfast. But yeah, they do have errors in their ways of phrasing stuff. Like, this is the Ministry of Truth lady, I believe. I don't like the Twitter. This is I don't like that Twitter. I guess this is a consequence of tweets not being editable and people tweeting quick on their cell phones. But personally, I have so much respect for the English language that when I make an error like this, I delete the tweet and I rewrite it, because I really don't like having errors in my written language out there. That's just, to me, the written form of communication is very important. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the regular chat. That way you'll be able to send a super chat on Odyssey. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats. Or alternatively, you can join us on Entropy. The optimist pessimist is already there and he sent me a super chat. The link to Entropy is right below the video. So the optimistic pessimist says, why is the theory of tides based on continuum mechanics, but the theory of gravity is based on particle mechanics? Is this a contradiction? Well, I don't know. I don't know that we can say that the theory of gravity is based on particle mechanics. I'm not an expert, but I don't think that's a proper representation of the current state of physics on gravity. The current state of physics on gravity is that there are some form of equations that you could consider continuous, which are the equations of general relativity. These equations are not quantum in nature. There are also proposals for a quantum theory of gravity, but I believe that all proposals to date are unsatisfying for some reason. They all fail at something. So because the theory of gravity is incomplete, I don't think we can say that it's based on particle mechanics. You can see it as gravitons, and people are theorizing about the expected features of a graviton, but it's the last word hasn't been said on gravity, basically. We know that. So we'll have to figure it out. Now, tides are an emergent phenomenon in the same way most of thermodynamics is, you know. If you talk about pressure of gases, heat, you know, levels of heat differentials, energy, force. Whenever you're talking about these things, you are talking about emergent phenomena that comes from the behavior of single particles. So basically heat, for example, is a property of the amount of kinetic energy stored in a particular way in a medium. And it's stored precisely in the form of shaking molecules, basically. So heat is an emergent phenomenon at the statistical and probabilistic level over the movement of individual particles. The theory of tide is a little bit like heat. When you talk about tides, tides will be an emergent phenomenon of the total gravitational effect of the moon, say, over the Earth on the collection of molecules in the water that will push against the molecules more in a direction than another, leading to an elevation of the water in accordance with the distortion of the gravitational field. So I don't see why you would need a quantum theory of tides, although you could acknowledge in the end that if you have a quantum theory of gravity, that basically tides are a quantum phenomenon too. But there's no reason why you would... It's a little bit like, instead of heat, JF, why don't we speak of the kinetic energy of individual particles? Because when you care about heat, you care about the overall probabilistic assessment of a medium and the amount of heat it contains. You don't care that much about the movement of individual particles. It's the same thing for tides. Basically, the answer to you is certain theories address phenomena at a level that it is not worth looking into the further microscopy of it. Same thing with biology, by the way. Biology is an emergent phenomena because in the end, everything from a bacteria to a giraffe is a physical relationship. So you wouldn't need the theory of evolution to reconstruct how an atom bumped on another atom, eventually formed a DNA molecule. Eventually, this DNA molecule found itself bumping in such a way that it will bump into another copy of itself and bump another copy of itself into existence. And eventually that other copy would go on and live. Basically, the sum of all these relationships must fit with the theory of physics. And because there are no forces that DNA is capable of that physics would not have in its own catalog of possibilities, therefore, biology is unnecessary. In the same way that the theory of heat and thermodynamics is unnecessary. Unnecessary in the sense that it's emergent. It describes things at another level that a lower level theory could in principle equally describe. However, if you were to trace everything from a bacteria to a giraffe without thinking in terms of the theory of evolution, you'd be taking the long route. You'd be stunned. It's like, oh my God, why did this atom bump into that atom? Well, as it turns out, this was pushing with some electromagnetic force and some weak interaction was here, emitted some particle. But in the end, it will boil down to, it's much more easy to understand how a bacteria becomes a giraffe in terms of natural selection rather than molecule thinking, you know. Do you want lunch? Says thermal energy is what is thought of as heat. Absolutely. Justet says, this is why I watch/follow JFG due to his literary integrity. Well, I will keep going in that direction. Sigalum says, I just watched the movie Whiplash. Has JF ever talked about it? Maybe not his thing, but he might find the psychological aspect interesting. Whiplash. Did I ever watch this movie? Whiplash movie. 2014. A promising young drummer enrolls at a cutthroat music conservatory where his dreams of greatness are mentored by an instructor who will stop at nothing to realize a student's potential. I don't think I've watched this. He says it's essentially a movie about an abusive relationship. Okay, I don't know if I'm super interested, but, you know, I'm pretty much scraping the bottom of the drawers in terms of movies, so I'm willing to watch anything. What we're watching, me and Mama JF, right now is the Sarah Connor Chronicles. If you've watched all of the Terminator movies and you're tired of rewatching them, and you may have missed the TV series, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. They are pretty good. They are acceptable material to watch. I wouldn't say that I'm very impressed. It's not as good as the movies. It's more, but it's not so far from the movies. It's just good commercial stuff that you can binge watch. The Batman, have you watched it, JF? Well, The Batman. I've watched The Dark Knight. I've watched, all these that they've done after The Dark Knight. And I've watched Joker, of course. The old Batmans, I don't think I've watched them. Or if I did, it was long enough ago that I forgot. SCOTUS unanimously rules Boston violated groups' right by refusing to fly a Christian flag. They're really getting into the details here. Because it was a city of Boston saying we're going to do a little activity where private groups will be flying their flags on the pole of the city of Boston. And a Christian group applied, we want to fly a Christian flag or something that will symbolize our Christianity. And the city of Boston said no. Well, and they said yes to other private entities. So by doing this choice, they were arguing that by flying the flag on the pole of the city hall, it was city speech. It wasn't private speech. But the Supreme Court has ruled that no, given that it was publicly acknowledged that this was a public forum and that you weren't going to fly the flags. The flags will be basically submitted by private entities. You cannot discriminate by religion and say we're not going to take your flag because it's a Christian flag. I think it's good as a decision, you know, in terms of preserving Christian rights in Christian rights of expression in the U.S., but there's so much more oppression going against Christians in this country. I always hated how the Supreme Court will take these very symbolic cases, but they won't resolve the massive violations of rights that are happening across the country against men, against fathers, against parents. It's like, get started. Stop going for these abstract cases where you know there's basically nothing at play. Holly says, Americans are not confused about this info board. It is about censorship. Critics such as Holly have expressed concerns over the board's potential to regulate free speech. There's no confusion over the Biden disinformation board, Holly said on Twitter. Everyone understands exactly what it is, a censorship committee to punish free speech. Dissolve it now. I agree. We'll see what they... I don't even know what they want to do with this committee. Is it just going to counter the speech that they think is false? They're going to be distributing some pamphlets, but to a certain extent, that is punitive. If you distribute a pamphlet that says JF is wrong about this, then the government is getting into the game of speech and into the game of determining what is good speech, what is bad speech. So it will be interesting to see how the Supreme Court handles this. The Ukraine war has been continuing very regularly, and we've not seen much progress on either side. What we've seen is a big channel of smoke coming from Mariupol. So and it's coming straight from the Azovstal steel plant, where the last resistance staff and soldiers and civilians are located. So what does it mean? Did they put it on fire? Did they bombard it from the air? I don't know. But it looks grim for the people who are still in Mariupol, the Ukrainians who are still there. Meanwhile, there is speculation about the intent of Vladimir Putin. The speculation, first, there is a TV host in Russia who are speculating about drowning the UK in a radioactive tsunami. A recent Russian state TV program has stirred outrage and made headlines across the United Kingdom after a television presenter featured a simulated demonstration of how the Russian Navy's nuclear submarines would take out the UK with ease. The segment aired late last week on public broadcaster Channel One and featured the chairman of the Nationalist Rodina political party, Alexei Zouravliov, who declared that one Sarmat missile in the British Isles will be no more. So the state TV in Russia is getting excited at the idea of the nuclear. We'll see if that leads to anything. For now, it seems like it's just bravado. Something tells me that Vladimir Putin has already chosen not to use nuclear attacks, and that it will be very hard to convince to use nuclear attacks. Now, people were speculating today in some news outlet that Vladimir Putin would declare open war on Ukraine officially on May 9th. That would be in 7 days from now. That would be on the day of the parade, the day of victory of the, I believe it's the celebration of the victory of the Russians against the Nazis or something like this. In any case, it seems that the opportunity would be used by Vladimir Putin to simply declare war against Ukraine, given that Ukraine has been striking in Russian territory. And the goal of this declaration would be, instead of having this special security operation where they are just getting their side items and their side equipments and not conscripts, but I don't know how you would call them, but basically not professional army. The guys that they sent there were often, they had other jobs, they were teachers, they were engineers, and they got set to this war task, sometimes without much training. A full declaration of war would allow Putin to send people who are part of the recruitment system of the army, his regular soldiers, and perhaps even conscripts. But that's speculation for now. Firestarter doubts it. He says, "I doubt Putin would declare war officially." I mean, it's possible, because the progress is stunningly slow, I have to say, at this point. There's not even progress. It's like an eternal front line. I don't know if Vladimir Putin wants to keep this eternal front line up, because this will drain resources, it will drain energy, and it will drain morale to be standing on this front line against a Ukrainian army that gets constantly refilled by Western forces. So I don't know. Personally, I was always thinking, you know, Vladimir Putin must make major progress within the first week, within the first 2 weeks, maybe at most. But after this, there's a channel of delivery from Western forces, and it gets more complicated. And even worse, there's an increasing channel of training. So you have NATO officers going to train Ukrainian soldiers in Poland with the technology that they give them. It would be a bad decision, in my view, to make this war an eternal war. Pineapple Platypotamus says, I'm not sure what American law says about supporting one side of a foreign war. Does anyone know? I think it's fine. Technically, you have the First Amendment. But we have seen again and again people being imprisoned and being attacked by the government for thinking and for supporting the enemy, for aiding and abetting the enemy. So even if technically you can think and say whatever you want, very often they will find a way to attack you still with traitor laws. Now it depends. If you're purely a personality, just purely speaking, you're probably going to get away with it in the US. I wouldn't say it's the same for Western Europe. In Western Europe, there is no First Amendment, and it's very easy to fall under these hate speech laws. Ukraine releases video of two Russian ships allegedly being destroyed in the Black Sea. Reported destruction comes weeks after Moskva sinking. So we got video of complete destruction of this Russian boat. Boom. Oh my God. Boom. Well, two Russian ships destroyed. This is why you don't want this war to be eternal. And as far as the front lines go, they are extremely stable. They've been stable for weeks now. We do see some bombardment of Odessa, and other than this, we have conflicts basically happening along the front lines. And that's all. So perhaps Vladimir Putin does need a boost in terms of having more soldiers on the ground, more equipment. An engineered ACE2 decoy neutralizes the SARS-CoV-2 Omicron variant and confers protection against infection in vivo. So they've engineered a molecule that looks physically like the ACE2 receptor, which is the receptor that handles your blood pressure and is also the receptor that the SARS-CoV-2 virus uses to enter your cell. So what they did is they are releasing these decoy molecules. It's an ACE2 looking molecule, and it fools the virus. The virus grabs it, but there's no cell at the end of it. So it's a way to fool viruses and block their activity. Great, great. College host, why ban books event amid national debate over book burning? I think that people who try to ban books are acting from a place of rationality. So why ban books? You would think that that's an event against the banning of books. But no, it turns out this is an event that will philosophically justify. Yeah, we should ban books. So the reason we shouldn't ban books, dear philosophers of the college, is that when you ban books, you abandon a principle. And eventually, the principle that you've abandoned will cost you more than the harm, the local harm that you think you may have saved people. When you abandon the principle of freedom, you start committing an act of aggression. You start committing an act of aggression against a potential author who would potentially be read by a potential reader, or a potential speaker to be heard by a potential audience. When you do that, not only do you argue that your judgment is absolute and better than these third parties who have asked nothing of you. You are interfering with someone else's liberty to access the information they want. You are also, you possibly have blind spots. You could think that, okay, everything in that sentence is false. But the problem, that therefore it's misinformation, then therefore it can only be harmful. The problem is there may be things that are false that people want to exchange with each other. And perhaps they are true in some way. Perhaps it's scientifically wrong to say that Jesus resurrected. Perhaps you could prove that Jesus didn't resurrect and it's impossible for someone to resurrect. But if someone wants to tell that to someone else and they may benefit from it in indirect ways, perhaps some stories are false but good. And you will intervene on all of it when you start banning books. So that's why we don't abandon the principle of free speech, is that ultimately we don't have omniscience. We don't understand the full consequences of abandoning this principle on people who who think differently than us. DC Elementary School gave four-year-olds anti-racism first fist book, asking them to identify racist family members. It's not your fault for having white privilege, but it is your fault if you choose to ignore it. A presentation told kids in pre-K through third grade. That is young. That is very young to tell someone, it's not your fault, but it's your fault. As part of this work, each student has a fist book to help continue the dialogue at school and home. Singh's letter stated, linking to Richard's presentation, we recognize that anytime we engage topics such as race and equity, we may experience the variety of emotions. This is a normal part of the learning and growing process. I hate when they do this. You know why they phrase it that way? It's because they're already thinking there's going to be some children revolted against what we're telling them here. So we're going to say, you may experience a variety of emotion. You deny what I'm saying to you about your racism? Well, okay, you are experiencing white rage. It's normal. It's white rage. You are feeling it because you have white privilege. And when you get called out on that privilege, it causes emotions because you want to keep that privilege. Everything is built to in a circular manner to always prove itself. That's why they start talking about emotions to deactivate the potential response and to preemptively say, whatever you think that's negative about what I'm telling you is not a rational thought, it's an emotion. We can talk about it, we can help you. You suffer from a bad emotion. We have to deactivate it to make you better. PayPal cancels the consortium news account, may seize balance. This is stunning. When they do this, the fact that they seize the balance of people, apparently it's an outlet. I don't know about this consortium news, but apparently they were talking about the Ukraine conflict in a, let's call it a Russia appreciating way. They had $9,350 in their PayPal account. And PayPal is telling them that they will have a 180-day review, so half a year. They will spend 6 months thinking about whether they deserve to get their cash back. And if it turns out that the PayPal rules have been violated, they will keep the cash. That's basically how these trust and safety committee fund themselves, by stealing money from creators. Like, you have this whole branch in your business. Let's say you're a big tech CEO. You have this whole branch, and all it can do is ban your consumers. So it can only cost you. Not only do they cost you something in terms of their salaries, in terms of keeping them alive, Firestarter says PayPal is owned by Elon, right? No. Elon has been part of those who were early into PayPal, but he has sold his shares a long, long time ago. That was even before Elon Musk went on to fund the movie Thank You for Smoking. So it's decades ago, I believe. So yes, you have these employees. They cost you something in terms of salaries, but it's not all. Whenever they take a decision, they cost you something because they're banning your own customers from your own business. So perhaps some of the CEOs, what they do is they say, all right, whenever my trust and safety committee identifies someone to have violated the rules, I have to pay these salaries. So I'm going to steal from those people who they claim have broken the rules. They've done the same thing to me with YouTube. They still owe me $4,000, $5,000 for my last month after they demonetized me. It's like, oh, yeah, well, we demonetized you and the cycle of payment is only in a month and you are out of the cycle of payment and now you're demonetized, so we can't pay you. But those are super chats that I had received during the month where I was monetized. The Amber Heard trial is continuing. Amber Heard texted a private nurse photos of her battered face. Okay, and so but you know there's been a claim that she wasn't battered by Johnny Depp, but that the moment at which she has experienced those injuries, it was already over with Johnny Depp. I don't know. We'll see how the jury gets convinced by this evidence. Video anchor at NBC affiliate allegedly caught meeting underage boy in sexting. So apparently some more grooming is happening at NBC. Well, a kind of local NBC chapter of some kind. And he was caught trying to contact an underage boy. Never let a crisis go to waste. Biden official says fertilizer shortage will spark a green farming transition. And Zero Hedge was joking. They were saying, green farming? Isn't farming already green? We're working with farmers to also increase their production so you actually have more supply brought on the market. Fertilizer shortages are real now because Russia is a big exporter of fertilizer. And even though fertilizer is not sanctioned, less fertilizer is coming out of Russia. As a result, we're working with countries to think about natural solutions like manure and compost, and this may hasten transitions that would have been in the interest of farmers to make eventually anyway, so never let a crisis go to waste. Farmers will be taken by the hand to discover non-fertilizing strategies for growing plants. Personally, I think fertilizer, yes, you can try to use it, not too much. You can have some as part of your strategy. But yeah, I try to use it twice in the year at most. And I think it should be enough. If you have a good soil, you're not going to need much more than this. Someone sent me a video, apparently a Danish politician. Not sure, I can't understand this language here. But a Danish politician pursued by Muslim extremists who attack him because they think he burned a holy book or something like this. So they jump on his windshield, apparently. Well, yeah, I've been saying that in the US, and we would need that everywhere. We need laws to, when you are surrounded by a hostile crowd, you should be able to escape in whatever possible ways you can. And that seems to be what he's done, and he seems to have been able to reach safety now. NDBL says you can recycle urine for most nitrogen and phosphorus needs, but what they do is recycle poisonous sludge. Okay, I think you've talked about this before, but I've chosen not to pee in my own garden or preserve my human poo. I've decided that it's not worth it. It's from a just cleanliness perspective. I don't want to have a stack of human poo on my land. I wouldn't care about having a stack of cow poo, pig poo, chicken poo. But this is a line I won't cross, sir. But thank you for the suggestion, which you keep giving me every year. 2 weeks to flatten the GDP. What is it with these pundits and government spokespeople? 2 years ago, they were wildly exaggerating virus threats, canceling and censoring people who pointed out contrary evidence. Now the tendency has swung the other way. No matter how bad the economic news is, the tendency is to downplay it, promise a turnaround soon, and otherwise claim that anyone who is worried is just being paranoid. And yes, I was talking about this with Mama JF yesterday. There seems to have been repeated, serial, coordinated attacks on the functioning of society, from COVID to the Ukraine war. It seems that every time it's the businesses getting hurt, that it's the shortages being caused. And at some point, you have to think that some people have a high interest in at least cutting certain segments of the economy from being able to operate properly. And now look at the gas. It's having the same effect. It's all making everything more costly, everything harder to do, and everything less worth doing. Mama JF says they want to make a reset. Yeah, that seems totally in line with the whole idea of a great reset. Some people seem to think that the world will be easier to manipulate in their technocratic ways if it's neutralized first. Because when it's neutralized, you don't have the fight back of the free individuals who are self-sustaining and people who have found ways to survive in the economic sector. If they're all neutralized and all dependent, they will get their great reset in the way they've been talking about for a long time. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Don't forget that on Thursday, that's in 3 days from now, we'll have Augustus Sol Invictus, the man who has been imprisoned and unfairly imprisoned and eventually found not guilty. It will be amazing to speak with our friend Augustus again. Until then, it will be solo shows. Much love. See you all tomorrow.